Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Paula Cole's recently released album Revolution has a song on it that she started writing all the way back in 1993, a year before releasing her debut, Harbinger, and 3 years before her hit song, I Don't Want to Wait, and Where Have All the Cowboys Gone, from the 1996 This Fire album she self-produced. As a young artist, she gained widespread fame touring with Peter Gabriel and winning a Grammy for Best New Artist in 1998. Then after releasing an album in 99, she took a seven-year hiatus for making music. Luckily for her fans, she returned and in the past decade has released several records, including this year's Revolution, in which Cole dives into the urgent political and social themes of our time. In addition to her recording career, Paula Cole is also a visiting scholar at her alma mater, Berklee College of Music, which is very fancy. And she'll be performing tonight at Le Poisson Rouge at 8 p.m., but she is in our studio now with her guitarist, Chris Bruce. Welcome.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here. Thanks for having us here today.
And you're going to kick this off with a song for us.
That's right. This is actually a cover of Marvin Gaye's Mercy, Mercy Me, which he made in 1971 on his What's Going On album, and it was a departure for him. He created a social political album, which was very influential to me. Mm-hmm. And Motown hated it, and Berry Gordy wanted to bury it, but he wanted to make commentary about things beyond himself, about the world, and this is about the planet, and this is such a beautiful song, ahead of its time. Shall we start?
Please.
Mercy, mercy me. Things are what they used to be. No, no. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Oh, mercy, mercy me. Things ain't what they used to be. No, no. Oil wasted on the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury. Oh, 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 mercy, mercy me. Things ain't what they used to be. No, no. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby are dying. Oh, mercy, mercy me. Ooh, things ain't what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more abuse for man can she stand? Oh. Mercy, mercy, have mercy. Have mercy on our planet, have mercy. What about this overcrowded land? How much more abuse from man can she stand? Oh, mercy, mercy, mercy. Have mercy on my mother and my father and my children. Ooh. Ooh.
My guest is Paula Cole, Chris Bruce on guitar. That was so lovely. I'm so interested. You started with a cover, and I read that you were actually thinking about an album of standards.
That's right. Actually, I released it in 2017. I called it Ballads, and I dedicated it to my father. So 20 songs of American standards. Yeah.
What is it that you love about the standards and about the classics? I mean, that is a classic song. I would consider that as an American standard.
I do, too. I mean, I wanted to mix genres a little bit because my dad was a multi-musician. He was a bass player in a polka band. I dedicated it to my father. He left music to go into science to support the family. Mm. And like Carl Jung says, we're primarily guided by the unfinished hopes and dreams of our parents. And I needed to heal that a little bit by being a professional musician and dedicating this work to him. I started as a jazz singer. And I just wanted to honor the masters that have taught me so much. So that could have been Bob Dylan or Nina mm-hmm. Simone or Billie Holiday, John Coltrane. And it was a bit of a mashup. Oh, and Bobby Gentry. So,
It's interesting. You said he was in a polka band.
Yes, he was a bass player in a polka band.
Was that music? Was polka music in your house growing up?
It was a bit, believe it or not. I mean, they are silent generation types. I was mm-hmm. raised by silent generation parents, and polka, they would dance to polka, and he played bass in a polka band, and he was in a big deal polka band, believe it or not. And he was on albums, and I would pull out albums from the hi-fi and find my dad on them, like very Mighty Wind album covers. And I, you know, realized that he was this multifaceted musician. He'd play Duke Ellington on piano and folk songs on guitar or banjo and upright bass. So I learned so much about him. I learned that music was self-made and it was joyful.
It's so interesting when you think about little kids, how much they absorb. Mm. Just when they're doing their own thing. But the idea that your dad, even though he didn't, as you said, he left music to make money for the family, you clearly have some of his talent and you absorb the joy of it and what it can mean to a life. When did you realize that it was going to be something more than just that you enjoyed doing? That you thought, you know what, I could be a professional musician here.
That's the self-examination that's existential, really. And it comes on hard at the end of high school for most of us, right? We have to start looking at what we want to pursue. And I was terrified to go into music, and my dad was terrified for me to go into music, too. And even I was terrified while I was at Berklee College of Music. I fancied myself a jazz singer. That's the full circle of it all. Yeah, I thought I wanted to be like a female Chet Baker, improvising, and... it was just, I was very mean to myself in my own head, and I abandoned it. I also didn't want to sing other people's words. I felt the need to make my own words and my own realities and speak those truths, especially as a female. I didn't feel a lot of those lyrics coming from the 40s and 50s were representational of my truths as a woman in this world.
When did you first start writing your own material?
I started very young, but it came as an aha explosion mm-hmm. at the end of Berklee when I was wondering what the hell I was going to do, be a jazz singer or not. And ironically, I did get a record deal from a jazz label at the end of Berklee and while I was still a student, and I rejected it because I was advocating for that truth inside. And I was going through therapy, and I was doing through a lot of self-examination, and my truths were coming out. And that's when I realized I have to do this, and I literally said no to jazz at the time.
That must have been really frightening.
It was frightening, and people told me I was crazy for turning down a record deal, and I went back to waitressing for a while. Yeah.
My guest is Paula Cole. Her new album is called Revolution. And as I mentioned in the intro, there's a song on Revolution that you started working on in 1993. Okay. There's so many questions about
that. I'm slow.
So you started in what kept you from finishing it that year, let's say? Let's start there.
I think that I knew that it was an important song. It has this big, beautiful, arcing melody. And it just wasn't right. I didn't have the right lyrics. And I knew that the melody deserved greater. So I kept putting it off and putting it off. And then one thing leads to another, and you have a baby, and then you take an 8-year hiatus from the music business or a divorce, one thing after mm-hmm. another. And then I needed to make my jazz album, and so on and so forth. So I finished the lyrics last year when I really felt I had something to say. I was in tune with my lyrics. But you know, we're not going to play that in the studio.
Yes.
Right?
No, I know. I know. No, but there are things that you start when you're young that you don't have the emotional or the capacity or the maturity to finish.
That's right.
You know, like you said, 25 years later, you came back around and thought, now I know what this song is supposed to be about.
I mean, I tried and I knew that the lyrics were awful. So.
Well, are you that? Is that you being critical or is that you being honest? Like when you finish a song.
Oh, I do think they were awful. I do think that. And at least I had the, you know, some omniscience there of knowing they were awful. So I punted and I punted and 25 plus years later.
Yeah.
But here I am still in this music business, right? Which is a seat of patriarchy and a very difficult thing to endure. And I'm still here.
Your album deals with gender and race, the environment. The first track features an excerpt from Martin Luther King Jr.'s speech, Beyond Vietnam. First of all, why did you want to start that way?
I wasn't sure. I started on the initial rough sessions with the Lord's Prayer as a placeholder. I knew I needed some words that created empathy and greater love and understanding, words that would help me through these terrific times, these incredible times where we have an illegitimate president, where I'm existential every day. I know there's a lot of depression and anxiety amongst everyone, nearly everyone with a brain, about what is going on. And I needed mantras to help me through these times. And I wanted to make social political commentary for myself, for people, to sing songs beyond my needs, my own introversion or autobiography, music to help people and name what's going on. And I feel that we need some joy, we need some hope, we need some togetherness, we need a call for action. It's a little bit bold to do that. At times I felt I don't necessarily deserve to, but there is no alternative. Picasso said, artists are the politicians of the future, and the artists that I admire most take on that mantle of being social political, like Marvin Gaye, like Nina Simone or mm-hmm. Bob Dylan or Joni Mitchell or John Lennon or Bob Marley, and I could go on and on, and they're the greats.
Would you play something from the album for us?
Sure. this song is for women, and this song was inspired by reading a book called Half the Sky.
This is Paula Cole.
This is called Shake the Sky.
Shake the sky with the cry. She's gonna rise, she's gonna rise, she's gonna rise. Sister gonna get up and wipe the tears from her eyes. She's gonna rise, she's gonna rise, she's gonna rise. Sister gonna stand up to all the bullying lies. She's gonna rise, she's gonna rise, she's gonna rise. Sister gonna stand up to all the bullying lies. She's gonna rise. She gonna rise, she gonna rise. Changes, changes the day to pass. A love for human kindness in this life. Changes, changes the way we demand. For the content of our character, the vision of our minds, the labor of the grist mill of society. Is the hail, the sweat, and backs of who have missed? Invisible sand overlooked and disenfranchised. Holding up the sky, holding up our lives. 2, 3, 4. Shake the sky with the cry. She gonna rise, she gonna rise, she gonna rise. Sister gonna get up and wipe the tears from her eyes. She gonna rise, she gonna rise, she gonna rise. Sister gonna stand up to all the bullying lies. She gonna rise, she gonna rise, she gonna rise. Sister gonna look at the man with the blood in his eyes. She gonna rise. Human. sharp minds, the labor of the grist mill of society. It's the hands, the sweat, and backs of who have least. Invisibles and overlooked and disenfranchised, are holding up the sky, holding up the light. Yeah. Two, three, four. Sister gonna wake up and shake the sky with a cry. She gonna rise, she gonna rise, she gonna rise. Sister gonna get up and wipe the tears from her eyes. She gonna rise, she gonna rise, she gonna rise. Sister gonna stand up to all the bullying lies. She gonna rise, she gonna rise, she gonna rise. Sister gonna look at the man with the blood in his eyes. She gonna rise, 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 she gonna rise.
My guest is Paula Cole. She's going to be at Le Poisson Rouge tonight at 8 p.m. And in the preview for your show at the time, at Le Poisson Rouge, the New York Times wrote, your heart has always been in the less radio-friendly sections of your catalog. And you thank them for that on Instagram for the review. And it mentioned the perils of the patriarchy of the music business. What are those perils?
Oh, well, that would be a novel. I mean, really, let me just say, to give you an idea of the background, when I started Berklee College of Music, it was the ratio of men to women was about 13 to 1. Hmm. And so everybody knew me. I didn't know them. Everything was awkward. That's just awkward for any micro-society. And then welcome to the music business. I'm usually the only woman in the band, in the van, and mm-hmm. amongst it all. So, of course, you know, especially when you're like in a situation like I was a backup singer for Peter Gabriel, that was over 60 men, and there were three other women besides me that I rarely saw. So you can be like, you know, the little worm dangling on the end of a fishing rod, for sure. And it's just difficult. I mean, they used to not put women together. Radio programmers didn't play women back to back. And Sarah McLachlan and I talked about that a lot. We ended up having shows together that led to Lilith Fair and on and so forth. You know, it's trying little by little, step by step, to make change.
What piece of advice would you give a young female artist today?
I would say that money is success for women, money is power for women. So first of all, you try to live within your means, and then you don't compromise yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So, and be as independent as possible, to create your own business if possible, as opposed to giving it away to a record label, which is not even necessary anymore. Be the writer. Be the writer. Own your intellectual property. Make the hit song your song. Don't sing for other people. So yes, and regard your inner self as, you know, if not more than your outer self, equally. But you write, you try to self-produce as much as possible. Have a voice and a mind for your own self-production. So I've produced a lot of my albums. Actually, Chris Bruce and I produced Revolution together. But for women, yes, it's to just to be strong for your intellectual property, for your voice in the studio. And to listen to that quiet voice inside, you'll know mm-hmm. if something is wrong, and advocate for that quiet voice.
We're on the subject of teaching. You're at the Berklee, you're on the Berklee faculty.
Yes.
What classes do you teach,
well,
Professor Cole?
My dad was a professor. We've come full circle yet again, right? Well, I've developed a couple of writing courses, and I call them Writing Out Your Life, and it's really like living autobiography and using other artists that dared to embrace change and speak out for social political purposes. These things are all very important to me. So I've created two writing courses, and I help largely female singers. I mean, there it is again at Berklee. Most of the women are singers, and most of the men are instrumentalists. So often I'm trying to create a comfortable environment between the women and men in the room, and to kind of dispel that energy that's separatist and different. And so male bands being respectful to women singers, and women singers coming out from cowering and being self-advocating.
And you try to facilitate that combination.
I try. Yeah. Yes.
Things to know. Paula Cole's new album is called Revolution. She will be at Le Poisson Rouge tonight at 8 p.m. Would you play one more song for us?
Oh, yes. And you'll recognize this one, which I wrote in the 90s for my grandparents.
Oh, the 90s.
I'm going to play one of those hits. One of those hits that I sometimes try to get away from, but it'll help people connect the dots. And this is dedicated to my grandfather, who fought in World War II in the Battle of Okinawa and came home with shrapnel in his skin and a very changed mindset, which affected my whole family and made me reflect a lot on what I want my life to be. So this is I Don't Want to Wait. Can you give me an F sharp again? Two, three, four. So open. So wait, I'm used to playing it on the piano.
Yeah.
What? Give me. Open up your morning light. One, two. I'm used to playing it on the piano. Two, three, four. So open up your morning light and say a little prayer for us. You know that if we are to stay alive and see the peace in every eye. Do 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 do. Do 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 do. Do 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 do. She had two babies. One was 6 months, one was three. In the war of 44, every telephone rang, every heartbeat sting. When she thought it was God calling her, would her son grow to know his father? I don't wanna wait for our lives to be over. I want to know right now, what will it be? I don't wanna wait for our lives to be over. Will it be? Yes, or will it be? So showed up all wet on the rainy front step, wearing shrapnel in his skin. And the war he saw lives inside him still. It's so hard to be gentle and warm. The years pass by and now he has granddaughters. How do I be over? I want to know right now, what will it be? I don't want to wait for our lives to be over. Will it be? Yes, or will it be? Oh, so you look at me from across the room. You're wearing your anguish again. Believe me, the feeling, it sucks you into the jaws of anger. Oh, so breathe a little more deeply, my love. All we have is this very moment. And I don't want to do what his father and his father and his father did. I want to be here now. Open up your morning light and say a little prayer for us. You know that if we are to stay alive and see the peace in every eye. I don't want to wait for our lives to be over. I want to know right now, what will it be? I don't want to wait for our lives to be over. Will it be yes or will it be? Be over, I want to know.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.